40. In a moment, everything was changed. Binet led Theremin and Sephira to a surprisingly cozy-looking little nest just on the far side of the roadblock. Cushions, curtains, a row of canisters that appeared to contain foodstuffs. A slim young woman was lying there, her left leg swathed in bandages. She looked weak and feverish, but she flashed a brief, faint smile as the others entered. Binet said, "You remember Raista 717, don't you, Theremin? Raista, this is Sephira 89 of the Department of Archaeology. I told you about her. Her discovery of previous episodes of city burning in the remote past. Raista's my contract mate," he said to Sephira. Theremin had met Raista a few times over the past couple of years in the course of his friendship with Binet. But that had been in another era, in a world that was dead and vanished now. He could barely recognize her. He remembered her as a slender, pleasant-looking, nicely dressed woman who seemed always well-groomed, always agreeably turned out. But now, this gaunt, frail, haggard girl, this hollow-eyed, stringy-haired ghost of the Raista he had known. Had it really been only a few weeks since nightfall? It seemed like years ago, suddenly. It seemed like eons, several geological epochs ago. Binet said, "I have a little brandy here, Theremin." Theremin's eyes widened. "Are you serious? Do you know how long it's been since I've had a drink?" "How ironic, Binet. You, the teetotaler, who I had to coax into taking his first sip of a Tano special. You've got the last bottle of brandy in the world hidden away here with you." "Sephira?" Binet asked. "Please, just a little." "Just a little is all we have." He poured three thimble-sized drinks for them. Theremin said as the brandy began to warm him, "Binet, what's going on out there, this search business?" "You don't know about search?" "Not a thing." "Where have you two been since nightfall?" "Well, in the forest, mostly. Then Sephira found me after some hoodlums beat me up and took me to the university's sanctuary while I recovered from what they did to me. And for the past couple of days, we've been trekking down the highway here, hoping to get to Umgando." "So you know about Umgando, do you?" "Now, by way of you, at one remove," Theremin said, "I ran into Sheeran in the forest. He was at the sanctuary right after you must have left it, and he saw your note about Umgando. He told me, I told Sephira, and we set out together to go there."
"With Sheeran?" Binet asked. "Where is he then?"
"He isn't with us. He and I split up days ago. He went off to Umgando by himself, and I stayed in Sorrow to look for Sephira. I don't know what happened to him. Do you think I could have another little nip of this brandy, Binet, if you could spare it? And you were starting to tell me about search." Binet poured a second small drink for Theremin. He looked toward Sephira, who shook her head. Then he said uneasily, "If Sheeran was traveling alone, he's probably in trouble. Probably very serious trouble. He certainly hasn't come this way since I've been here, and the Great Southern Highway is the only route out of Sorrow that anyone could take if he hoped to get to Umgando. We'll have to send out a scouting party to look for him. As for search, it's one of the new things that people do. This is an official search station. There's one at the beginning of every province that the Great Southern Highway runs through."
"We're only a few miles from Sorrow City," Theremin said.
"This is still Sorrow Province, Binet."
"Not anymore. All the old provincial governments have disappeared. What's left of Sorrow City's been divided up. I hear that the Apostles of Flame have one big chunk of it over on the far side of town, and the area around the forest and the university is under the control of somebody named Altenal, who's operating a quasi-military group that calls itself the Fire Patrol. Perhaps you've run into them."
Sephira said, "I was an officer in the Fire Patrol for a few days. This green neckerchief I'm wearing is their official badge of office."
Binet said, "Oh, then you know what's happened. Fragmentation of the old system. A million petty governmental units springing up like mushrooms everywhere. What you're in now is Restoration Province. It runs from here down the highway about 7 miles. When you get to the next search station, you're in Six Suns Province. Beyond that is Godland, and then Daylight, and after that... well, I forget. They change every few days anyway as people wander on to other places."
"And search?" Theremin prompted.
The new paranoia. Everyone's afraid of fire starters. You know what they are. Crazies who thought that what happened at nightfall was a load of fun. They go around burning things down. I understand that a third of Sorrow City burned down the night of the eclipse, just from people's panicky wild attempts to drive away the stars, but that another third of it has been destroyed since then, even though the stars are long gone again. A sick business, that is. So the people who are more or less intact of mind, you're among some now, in case you were wondering, are searching everyone for firelighting equipment. It's forbidden to possess matches or mechanical lighters or needle guns or anything else capable of... The same thing that's going on the outskirts of the city, Sephara said. That's what the fire patrol is all about. Altenhall and his people have set themselves up as the only people in Sorrow who are allowed to use fire. And I was attacked in the forest while I was trying to cook a meal for myself, said Theramin. I suppose they were searchers, too. I'd have been beaten to death if Sephara and her patrol hadn't come along to rescue me in the nick of time, pretty much the same way you did just now. Well, Binay said, I don't know who you ran into in the forest, but search is the formal ritual down here to deal with the same problem. It goes on everywhere. Everybody searching everybody else. Never any let-up. Suspicion is universal. Nobody's exempt. It's like a fever. A fever of fear. Only little elites like Altenhall's fire patrol can carry combustibles. At every border, you have to surrender your fire-making apparatus to the authorities, such as they may happen to be at the moment. You might as well leave those needle guns here with me, Theramin. You'll never get to Mgondo with them. We'll never get there without them, Theramin said. Binay shrugged. Maybe, maybe not. But you won't be able to avoid surrendering them as you continue south. The next time you hit search, you know, I won't be there to call off the search force. Theramin considered that. How is it that you were able to make them listen to you anyway? He asked. Or are you the head searcher here? With a laugh, Binay said, The head searcher? Hardly. But they respect me. I'm their official professor, you see. There are places where university people are loathed. Do you know that? Killed on sight by mobs of crazies, because the crazies think we caused the eclipse, and are getting ready to cause another one. But not here. I'm considered useful for my intelligence. I can compose diplomatic messages to adjoining provinces. I've got ideas about how to take broken things and make them work again. I can even explain why the darkness isn't going to come back, and why nobody will have to look at the stars again for 2,000 years. They find that very comforting to hear. So I've settled in among them. They feed us and take care of Raista, and I think for them. It's a nice symbiotic relationship.
Shirin told me you were going to Mgondo, said Theramin.
I was, Binay said. Mgondo's the place where people like you and me ought to be. But Raista and I ran into some trouble on the way down. Did you hear me tell you that crazies are hunting down university people and trying to kill them? We nearly got caught by a bunch of them ourselves as we were heading south through the suburbs toward the highway. All those neighborhoods on the south side of the forest are occupied by wild squatters now.
We ran into some, Theramin said.
Then you know, we were surrounded by a bunch of them. They could tell just by the way we talked that we had to be educated people. And then someone recognized me. Recognized me, Theramin, from a picture in the newspaper, from one of your columns, one of the times when you were interviewing me about the eclipse. And he said I was from the observatory. I was the man who had made the stars appear.
Binay stared off into nowhere for a moment. We were about 2 minutes away from being strung up from a lamppost, is my guess. But then came a providential distraction. Another gang showed up, territorial rivals, I suppose, throwing bottles, yelling, waving kitchen knives around.
Raist and I were able to get away. They're like children, the crazies. They can't keep their minds on any one thing very long. But as we were crawling through a narrow path between two burned-out buildings, Raista cut her leg on some broken glass. And by the time we got this far south on the highway, it was so badly infected that she couldn't walk.
I see. No wonder she looked so terrible, Theramin thought.
Luckily for us, Restoration Province's border guards were in need of a professor. They took us in. We've been here a week or maybe 10 days now. I figure Raista may be able to travel again in another week if all goes well, or more likely two. And then I'll have the boss of this province write out a passport for us that might get us safely through the next few provinces down the road at least, and we'll set out on our way for Mgondo. You're welcome to stay here with us until then, and then we can all go south together if you like. Certainly it'll be safer that way. You want me, Bitala?
The tall man who had tried to search Theramin in the clearing had poked his head over the curtains of Binay's little den.
Messenger just came in, Professor. Brought some news from the city by way of Imperial Province. We can't make much sense out of it.
Let me see. Binet said, reaching up and taking a folded slip of paper from the man. To Theramon, he said, "Messengers go back and forth between the various new provinces all the time. Imperials north and east of the highway, stretching up toward the city itself. Most of these searchers here aren't too good at reading. Their exposure to the stars seems to have damaged their verbal centers or something." Binet fell silent as he began to scan the message. He scowled, frowned, pursed his lips, muttering something about post-nightfall handwriting and spelling. Then, after a moment, his expression grew dark.
"Good God!" he cried. "Of all the rotten, miserable, terrible—"
His hand was shaking. He looked up at Theramon wild-eyed.
"Binet, what is it?"
Somberly, Binet said,
"The Apostles of Flame are coming this way. They've assembled an army. And they're going to march down to Umgando, clearing away all the new little provincial governments that have sprung up along the highway. And when they get to Umgando, they're going to smash whatever reconstituted governing body it is that has taken form down there and proclaim themselves the only legally empowered ruling force in all of the Republic."
Theramon felt Sephira's fingers digging into his arm. He turned to look at her and saw the horror on her face. He himself must not look very different, he knew.
"Coming? This way?" he said slowly. "An army of apostles."
"Theramon, Sephira, you've got to get out of here," said Binet.
"Immediately. If you're still here when the apostles arrive, everything's lost."
"Go to Umgando, you mean?" Theramon asked.
"Absolutely. Without wasting another minute. The whole university community that was in the sanctuary is down there, and people from other universities, educated people from all over the Republic. You and Sephira have to warn them to scatter fast. If they're still in Umgando when the apostles get there, Mandior will be able to gobble up the whole nucleus of any future legitimate government this country's likely to have, all in one swoop. He might even order mass executions of university people. Look, I'll write out passports for you that'll get you through the next few search stations down the line anyway. But when you've gotten beyond our authority, you'll simply have to submit to search and let them take whatever they want from you and then keep on heading south. You can't afford to let yourself be distracted by secondary issues like resisting search. The Umgando group has to be warned, Theramon."
"And what about you? Are you just going to stay here?"
Binet looked puzzled.
"What else can I do?"
"But when the apostles come?"
"When the apostles come, they'll do what they want with me. Are you suggesting that I leave Raista behind and run off to Umgando with you?"
"Well, no."
"Then I have no choice, right?"
"Right?
Here I stay with Raista."
Theramon's head began to ache. He pressed his hands against his eyes. Sephira said,
"There's no other way, Theramon."
"I know. I know. But all the same, to think of Mondior and his crew taking a man as valuable as Binet prisoner, executing him even."
Binet smiled and rested his hand for a moment on Theramon's forearm. "Who knows? Maybe Mandior would like to keep a couple of professors around as pets. Anyway, what happens to me is unimportant now. My place is with Raista. Your place is on the road, scampering down to Umgando as fast as you know how. Come on, I'll get you a meal and I'll give you some official-looking documents, and then on your way with you."
He paused.
"Here, you'll need this, too."
He poured the rest of the brandy, no more than an ounce or so, into Theramon's empty glass.
"Down the hatch," he said.